Well, good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. It is good to be here today to see you all. Oh, had a little snow in the forecast, temperatures dropping. But today's the third Sunday of Advent, and we're all looking forward to Christmas. A few announcements before we begin. Let's first announce Matt and Julia. That's Pastor Matt over in Seattle now, and Julia. They welcomed their new baby, Amelia Joy, into their family on December 1st. We're very excited for them. Also, we will be having our deacon board meeting on Thursday, December 17th, and we'll have that meeting virtually. Okay, so mark your calendar, deacon board meeting, December 17th. Again, we have our weekly Bible studies here at Stavanger. There's a Bible study on the book of Ephesians that goes on Tuesday night here at Stavanger, 7 p.m. We also have a virtual Bible study. The Shady Oak Bible study is held every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. You can join in virtually. If you'd like a link, just contact me. My number is on the back of the bulletin there. And one more big announcement, Christmas break for Sunday school. Sunday school will be going on a Christmas break, and we will resume again on January 10th. So we look forward to seeing you back then. Let us now begin our service. Oh, we have one more announcement.
Yeah. I did send a message to Pastor. We have to put the January 10th agenda on the website, so you can
Okay. Annual meeting on January 10th. And we'll be announcing that in the weeks ahead. Thank you, Sharon. Okay. Let us begin our service in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'd like to invite up Pastor Eric for the lighting of the Advent wreath. The third candle lit on the Advent wreath is called the Shepherd's Candle. The Shepherd's Candle reminds us that God chose shepherds to first hear and share the good news of Jesus' birth. Centuries earlier, God revealed to the prophet Isaiah that the Savior would come with power, but also with gentleness, a shepherd to lead us, his sheep. And a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Let us meditate on those words with a moment of silence and the tolling of the bell. Let us now worship the Lord in song. I would like to invite up the youth, the children, and our praise
team. Not the children
up,
yet.
Not the children yet.
The praise team.
The praise team. I'd like to invite up the praise team.
You are. Logan, Caden.
Okay.
Caden. Okay, you may stand if you're able and join us in singing Joy to the World.
Oh, children. Let's give it a hand here.
There we go. Volume. All right. Changing tone here, but it is important for us praising the Lord to also confess. And I would like to take this opportunity to confess our sins together, which is appropriate when we're in the presence of the Lord. Would the congregation please rise as you are able for the confession of our sin? You'll see in your bulletin the words we'll be using. Almighty God, our Maker. I'll read the words under the heading Pastor, and you can join me under the heading Congregation. Let's begin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. By your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word. And by your grace, we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. And now, congregation, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please read along with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll take this time in our service to go to God with our prayer requests. Does the congregation have any special prayer requests? I invite you to offer up if you'd like. Yes.
Pray for our government.
Pray. Yes. Praying for our government and the people around the world. Anyone else? Okay. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we adore you, Lord, and we come to you with our prayer requests, with the things that weigh heavily on our heart, and the things that should weigh heavily in our heart but don't. Lord, teach us to pray. We come to you now in the season of Advent, looking forward to that day when you come and when you're with us in all that fullness. But we rejoice in the presence of your Holy Spirit with us now. Lord, we see a lot of turmoil in this year. People have different views, but your church is to be one. And with one voice, we just lift up this year, lift up our government And we put it before you in your hands. We trust you, Lord. Show us, Lord, how we are to live and act in our jobs, in our city, in the public sector. Make us Christ-like in all these places, that we may join in your mission, Lord. Lord, we pray for our government, for wise leadership in these days. We pray as we know the news of COVID and the developments of that. Lord, be with us in this time. Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering, who are hurting, who are burdened, who are sick. And we take a moment to suffer with them, to grieve with them, to remember them. We remember all who are oppressed around the world for your name's sake, for carrying the name Christian. Lord, put it on our hearts to grieve with them and show us how we can serve them. Thank you, O Lord, for this season of Advent and for all the joy that this season brings. And this joy breaks forth in our lives. Let us rejoice and spread that message that you've given us. O Lord, we thank you. And together we pray in the manner in which our Lord Jesus taught us, with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite up Pastor John Jewell for today's sermon. Thank you, Pastor John.
Thank you. Be reading from Isaiah chapter 61, and if you have your Bibles, invite you to read along, and as you're able, I invite you to rise for the reading of God's Word. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated, and they will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make them an everlasting, and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The year of the Lord's favor. Would we use that kind of language to describe the year 2020? The year of the Lord's favor. Isaiah's preaching to generations ahead, to people that came after him. People who had been in captivity, who had been exiled from their land. They'd had everything taken away from them. Their homes, their livelihood, their place of worship, their dignity and pride as a sovereign nation. Why? Because they had turned away from the Lord. They thought it better to worship created things rather than the Creator. They took pieces of oak and carved them into the shape of people and animals and worshiped them. They acted in self-interest toward their neighbor instead of in their neighbor's interest. They did it their way instead of the Lord's way. And after persisting in this for generations, the Lord made good on his word and sent them into captivity. They had blown it. They had broken faith with the Lord, and they had allowed their own brokenness to run wild. And now they were needing a word of hope. They were not experiencing or feeling the year of the Lord's favor. Why does a passage like this need to be included in God's word? Maybe it's because there are broken people that need to hear it. Maybe even you and me. What do we do when stuff's broken? Well, if you're a guy, you try to fix it. You get some duct tape. Or maybe some zip ties. Or JB Weld. Gorilla glue if you prefer. We try to fix it. We try to do it ourselves. And you know, if it's some broken thing around the house or the yard or the garage, I've fixed some stuff with these things. And other things were beyond fixing. And even things I did fix, sometimes they fall apart again. And eventually they all will. Any of these fixes for our broken world that we as humans implement, they're only temporary at best. But the Lord announces something different here. He talks about an everlasting joy will be theirs, an everlasting covenant. He has a promise here to bind up the brokenhearted. This doesn't fix a broken heart. These things don't set captives free. And they don't give sight to the blind or recovery of the use of limbs to the lame. Not physically and certainly not spiritually. But the servant of the Lord announces here in the book of Isaiah of the servant of the Lord that the Lord has anointed him, has chosen him. This passage is perhaps familiar to you because you've heard it in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus was in the synagogue of Nazareth. And he opens the scroll to the prophet Isaiah, to this very chapter. And he reads a portion of it. And then he sits down and he says, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The people that were in captivity in Babylon, they got to go back to their home eventually. But it was a hard situation going back, rebuilding. They faced a lot of struggles. They fell back into some of their sins again. They couldn't fix it. They couldn't fix the real problem. They couldn't bring the Lord's favor on themselves. So instead, the Lord does something different. He sends himself. And that's why Jesus declares that this passage is about him. Because he was the anointed one. It means the one who's been chosen, that has, in the Old Testament, they would put oil on the forehead of a priest or a king, or pour oil on them as a sign of God's blessing, of God's choosing for a king or a priest. And indeed, when John the Baptist preached about the coming of the Lord, at Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord came down on Jesus in the form of a dove. And the voice came to Jesus, "You are my Son, beloved Son." Jesus was clearly anointed and chosen to be the servant of the Lord, the one to come and bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captives from those sitting in darkness, for the prisoners. Indeed, Jesus did physically heal people on this earth. But that wasn't the full extent of why he came. He came to establish a kingdom which we don't see with these eyes fully. We can see evidence of it, but we don't. It's a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. See, what plagues us in this world goes beyond what our senses perceive. Our senses perceive masks on faces, sickness in our body, strife in our society. We see all these things, but they're only outward signs of a deeper problem. The real brokenness is the brokenness between us and God. The real captivity is us and our sin. The real enemy is not a political one or a foreign nation. It's Satan himself. These are the things that the servant of the Lord came to set us free from. These are the things he came to fix. But he didn't come with duct tape or zip ties or JB Weld. He came with his own life, his own blood. You see, the promise of garments of praise, of robes of righteousness that we're given, they didn't come free. They're freely given to us, but they didn't come free to the one who gave them. No, the Spirit anointed one that Isaiah prophesied, this king, this one to come and set things right, he did it in a very unusual way. He did it by allowing himself to be stripped, beaten, turned into a prisoner himself, and given a crown of thorns, a sign of the curse. And instead of being clothed in royal garments, he allowed himself to be stripped and hung naked on a cross to take the curse for you and me. And by the blood he shed there, he gave us good news to preach to those of us who are poor, who don't have anything to bring to God for favor except our sins. He gave us freedom from being slaves to sin and our own selfish desires. And he gave us release from captivity to Satan's kingdom. Indeed, this is the year of the Lord's favor. Don't get distracted by the news or the masks we wear. This is the year of the Lord's favor. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and following about this year of the Lord's favor. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away." Amen? Outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. These don't go to heaven with us. They get left outside. Temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. For we now know that the earthly tent we live in is destroyed. That if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, but because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Isaiah proclaims, and the servant of the Lord proclaims, the year of the Lord's favor and the day of God's vengeance. When Jesus quotes this passage in the synagogue in Nazareth, he stops at the year of the Lord's favor. The day of his vengeance against his enemies is when he returns. And that's what we celebrate in Advent. Not just his first coming, but his return. And praise God, when we have years like this, it maybe just takes our attention off of the things of this world and reminds us that this isn't our permanent home. We're looking forward to something better, to someone better, to our Lord Jesus. For those who persist in opposing him and persecuting him and his followers, there will be a day of reckoning. But you who are poor, who realize you are sinners without hope of being in God's presence as a sinner, except for the blood of Jesus, then this is good news. When we realize we are poor and that it is Christ and his riches that are our hope, then this is good news. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus promised us that this world, that life in this world, as a believer, will be hard. And if we think this is bad, we'll likely see worse before Jesus returns. But take heart, his promise does not fail. These troubles are light and momentary. And even as the world blows up around us, this is, for those who trust in Jesus, the year of the Lord's favor. We implore you on Christ's behalf, Paul writes, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now. Now is the time of God's favor. Right now, in 2020, is the time of God's favor for all who trust in Jesus. And now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, may the trouble around us remind us of the trouble that we cannot see, the trouble which you overcame at the cross and the empty tomb. So, Lord, as we celebrate your first coming again this Christmas, Lord, may we anticipate with joy amidst the struggles your return. And when we, Lord, are faced with our own sin and our consciences accuse us, Lord, help us to rest in your declaration. In your declaration that you were made sin, a sin offering, so that we might appear righteous before the Father. We pray this, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
The year of the Lord's favor. Thank you for the word, Pastor John. Now, the congregation, please rise for our closing chorus. Go now in peace. Give you his peace. Amen.